This is Terry Bush reading the News Gazette, dated Saturday, June 14, and Sunday, June 15. We'll begin, as always, on the front page with the headline, Complex Condemned, but Occupants Remain. All 29 buildings in the Champaign Park Apartments complex are now condemned, but that doesn't mean that they're empty. Cunningham Township Supervisor Danielle Chinoweth told Champaign officials that her staff estimated that over 100 people were living in the abandoned buildings as of late May. I just want to say that the situation at Champaign Park Apartments is a human rights disaster, that the size and scope of it is unprecedented in our community, she said, and that what our case managers saw when they have canvassed is a kind of level of precarity that I saw in Detroit and Philadelphia. Rob Kowalski, Champaign Neighborhood Services Director, said all 29 buildings are condemned, and that implicates 504 apartments. So no building is considered livable at this point, and most of the condemnations are because utilities have been disconnected, because the owner has not paid the bills. He added that a couple of buildings have sustained damage from fires, and that others have no heat. Chinoweth said that over the past few months, her staff have witnessed deplorable conditions such as trash heaps, evidence of black mold, regular flooding, no electricity, no hot water, and no water at all in some cases. She said there were people we spoke to who were still paying rent in this situation who were told that the place was being bought by another company and they should just wait. There were people who were being actively evicted in eviction court, even though the landlord was in violation of the lease across multiple fronts. When asked if any residents were still paying rent after their units were condemned, Chinoweth replied that at least one resident was paying rent around the time of condemnation and therefore did not get the full month she paid for. While the Champaign Park Apartments are not located in Cunningham Township, which shares its borders with the city of Urbana, Chinoweth said the city of Champaign came to the continuum of service providers to the homeless and sought help with the situation. At the time, her office said they could canvass the complex to gather more information. Chinoweth's office is currently in contact with 28 individuals who have shown willingness to work with us and filled out a needs assessment. The City of Champaign Township Board voted Tuesday to use up to $78,216 in rapid rehousing grant funds to reimburse Cunningham Township for helping households experience literal homelessness due to the condemnation of units at the Champaign Park Apartments and the Havenstone Apartments in Urbana. Per the agreement, these funds will be used to reimburse Cunningham Township for expenses such as rental application fees, security deposits, and rent and utility assistance. Chinoweth's office will also provide housing navigation and case management. Kowalski believes the people at Champaign Park Apartments are likely a mix of two groups. Those who, at one time, had a lease and have been there for a while, and new people who are just using the buildings. He estimated that about 10 to 15 households fall into the former category and are trying to find alternative housing options, while the rest are not familiar to us as having been a tenant in the past. Of the 28 people Chinoweth's office is working with, she estimated about 17 to 20 had a lease. Kowalski said, typically if an apartment building is condemned or a house is condemned, there's usually an owner that's taking action to keep their property secure. In this case, we don't have that. The owner, out of New York, has pretty much relinquished all responsibility of keeping this property secure and maintained. So that's when it's ripe for people to be entering the buildings that shouldn't otherwise be there. The onus in such situations is primarily on the landlord, he said. However, when an owner is not interested in evicting individuals and crime becomes an issue on the property, the city can seek a court order to vacate and secure the site. That's likely what we'll have to do, Kowalski said. We want to help people who need to find alternative housing do that, but at some point, we need to have the buildings vacated and boarded up for public safety purposes. In addition to the work being done by Cunningham Township, Champaign's Equity and Engagement Department has been in touch with many of the residents to advise them on other housing options, he added. The city has been dealing with livability issues at the Champaign Park Apartments since late 2022 and is currently in the middle of a legal battle with the complex's owner, Champaign Apartments Owner LLC, over outstanding violations. Champaign City Attorney Thomas Yu told the City Council in March that the complaint had been amended to include demolition counts, alleging that the conditions of the buildings on the property are beyond reasonable repair. Kowalski noted that the LLC has been court-ordered to provide housing for tenants displaced by unlivable conditions, but is not meeting this obligation. We're currently working on a plan to secure this property better, he said. We have the ability to abate and secure this property. There's a bit of a legal process in doing those things, but it is definitely the city's goal that that happens this summer. He added that coming to a resolution on this property is a high priority for the city of Champaign. Chenoweth said that while the Champaign Park Apartments is the biggest catastrophe we've seen, there are a significant number of people who have been displaced in Champaign and Urbana. We're going to need better tools to address out-of-town landlords who do not have proper property management in town and who allow properties to get to a point of squalor, she added. The cities need to be much more proactive in identifying problem properties and ensuring that owners make sure those properties are safe. Next up, a weekend special story by Jill Pyers, headlined Listening Carefully. Doctors, patients mostly welcome new AI scribes, but concerns remain. One of the last places you might expect your conversation to be recorded is at an OBGYN appointment. Asks the nurse practitioner, have you had any new sexual partners in the last year? A red sign hangs on the cabinet behind the provider, informing you that software is listening to your conversation. This is not some futuristic movie. This is happening in doctors' offices across the country, thanks to new software powered by artificial intelligence. Ambient listening software is part of a buzzy new technology being marketed as AI scribes or assistants to help doctors transcribe and create patient notes more efficiently. Some software can even suggest treatments and create orders. Many area healthcare organizations, including Carl Health, Kirby Medical Center, OSF Healthcare, and Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center, have already rolled out elements of the new technology with overall positive results. While most physicians are excited about the technology, some concerns remain, especially from patients. Here's how it works. Once providers obtain verbal consent from the patient, they click a button on their phone or computer, and the ambient listening software begins to record the visit. The software listens and captures the voices of the physician, the patient, and anyone else in the room, accurately distinguishing each speaker. With the help of AI, the software transcribes the conversation and then generates a summary for the doctor to review and submit for the patient's electronic medical record. Depending on the type of software, the recording is either deleted within a certain time frame or securely saved so the doctor can reference it to ensure transcription accuracy. Some software vendors use the voice recording to further train their AI models, though that setting can be disabled. If the recording does get used to train AI, identifying patient data is removed. The voice recordings are not accessible to patients through their charts, mm-hmm. but may be available by request depending on the software vendor. Patients can view the AI text summaries in the same location as their post-visit notes. All of the software used by organizations contacted by the News Gazette steer clear of violating the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, or HIPAA. They have not, however, been approved or denied by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the government agency charged with regulating medical devices. On its website, the FDA acknowledges that its traditional paradigm of medical device regulation was not designed for adaptive artificial intelligence and machine learning technologies. AI, like that used by local healthcare providers, could receive further scrutiny from the FDA in the future. Physicians say that meticulous documentation is vital to them and healthcare organizations, not only to ensure the best care for patients, but also for billing and legal purposes. Because of the third-party payment structure used by most U.S. healthcare organizations, notes are more than just a record of what took place during a patient visit. They also include diagnostic codes, which are used to determine what health insurance companies and patients pay. Doctors say that for every hour spent with a patient, they often spend two more on documentation. The time saver could also be a job saver. A 2024 American Medical Association survey of more than 12,400 physicians found that more than a third of them were considering leaving the field or reducing their hours, including those nowhere near retirement age. That's bad news for patients, who often must wait months to see their providers as is. At Carle, AI scribe technology is growing rapidly, with 450 of its providers using it. Caleb Miller, Carle's Senior Vice President for Specialty and Ambulatory Care, said that's approximately 30% of our professional workforce. Our implementation has been a rolling department-by-department approach, so we're bringing new providers onto the platform routinely. OSF, which employs over 2,200 physicians, reports similar percentages. Dr. Tyler Fitch, OSF's Chief Medical Information Officer, said about a third of our ambulatory outpatient providers are on the system. About 85% of the doctors who have been offered it to them have ended up using it. By the end of the year, every OSF physician in the Champaign area will have access to it, Fitch added. Coles County's Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center has 62 unique users of AI Scribe software, about 27% of providers. Mark Fred, Chief Operating and Information Officer at Monticello's Kirby Medical Center, says the 36 physicians there have two note-taking options, a remote human scribe or an AI scribe. Physicians who spoke to the News Gazette expressed a preference for AI scribes because it frees them up from being handcuffed to a computer during a visit, creating a more meaningful patient experience. Dr. Dwight Pensian, Chief Medical Officer at Sarah Bush Lincoln, said conversationally their visits seem a lot more pleasing because they don't have their head in the computer or they're not, you know, thinking about their note while they're talking to the patient. The technology also cuts down on the time it takes for doctors to wrap up visit notes, which they say allows them to see more patients or go home on time. Sarah Bush Lincoln's biggest user of AI technology reported his average documentation time dropping from almost 5 minutes per patient note to 1 minute 45 seconds. Dr. Brent Kaufman, a Carl pulmonologist, has had a similar experience. It sped up my charting tremendously and kept me from having my head buried in the computer. He's not abandoned his computer altogether. Kaufman still uses it to show patients how the ambient listening software works, letting them witness AI transcribing their conversation in real time. A lot of them are like, "Oh, wow, that's really cool," he said. OSF's Fitch agrees. We find that the patients want their doctor to pay attention to them and don't want their doctor to be burned out. And so it's a team relationship to be able to provide the best care. Most physicians have also found AI scribes to be highly accurate, as good as, or even better, than what they could do if they were taking notes themselves. Fitch said, it's not that a doctor couldn't write a better note than the AI. They absolutely could write as good or better from their impressions of the conversation. It's just they have to do 20 of them, and a lot of times they're doing it at 8 or 9 at night to get their work done. Kaufman added, I think AI is more accurate than the alternative. The onus is on us to review it and make sure it's captured everything that's really, really important. If what an AI scribe produces isn't to his liking, Kaufman explained, he can just click a button and the software will regenerate the note in a slightly different way. In many cases at Sarah Bush Lincoln, Pensian said, the AI-generated notes don't need any editing at all. If a patient comes in with a very straightforward, single complaint, I would say 9 times out of 10, there's going to be very, very little to no editing needed. Is it perfect, you know, where I just push a button and the note is done? No, but it gets me 90% of the way there. Kirby's Fred anticipates the technology will keep getting better and better and more precise. Yeah, so I say, if you don't embrace AI to some degree in whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to really fall behind quickly. Not all physicians, particularly those in highly specialized practices, are sold on switching to AI scribes. A spokesman for Vital Skin Dermatology said the 5-year-old company has found that in-person medical scribes are uniquely effective, particularly given the demands of our specialty-specific electronic health record and the importance of face-to-face clinical interaction. Other physicians argue that physical note-taking helps them reflect on the case and make better decisions. Another uncertainty is the impact of AI scribes on medical student training. Kaufman said, we don't want them to use it as a crutch. It's their medical education. At the same time, this is what they're going to be using after graduation in their future practices. Other providers worry that listening devices in patient rooms may have a chilling effect on patients who are already scared to share information, such as immigrants without documentation, people experiencing domestic violence, or women considering abortions. And one of the chief concerns is that on rare occasions, AI scribes invent words, phrases, or sentences that were never said. It's a phenomenon known as the tech industry as hallucinations. A 2024 paper published in the New England Journal of Medicine concluded that although AI scribe technology scored excellent in the study's accuracy rating, there were still instances of error. The paper reported, in one example, the physician mentioned scheduling a prostate examination for the patient, and the AI scribe summarized that a prostate examination had been performed. In another, the physician mentioned issues with the patient's hands, feet, and mouth, and the AI summary recalled the patient being diagnosed with hand, foot, and mouth disease. Another study, performed in 2023, examined OpenAI's Whisper technology and found that 1% of audio recordings included hallucinations, and of those hallucinations, nearly 40% were harmful. Some AI transcriptions even included random mentions of violence. In one instance, the patient said he, the boy, was going, I'm not sure exactly, to take the umbrella. OpenAI's Whisper transcribed it this way. He took a big piece of cross, a teeny small piece. I'm sure he didn't have a terror knife, so he killed a number of people. That was April 2023. When the researchers reran their experiments in December, the hallucination rate had significantly lessened, likely due to updates to the technology. However, the researchers noted that the updates didn't completely stop harmful hallucinations. Physicians contacted for this story were in agreement that AI scribes may not be appropriate to use in all circumstances. For example, when seeing patients with speech disabilities. University of Illinois professor Mark Hasegawa Johnson, who's been working since the early 1990s to improve voice recognition technology for people with a range of diverse speech patterns, said the hallucination issue only just recently started to appear in automatic speech recognition, but we're seeing that sometimes, and especially with the people whose dysarthria, weak or hard to control muscles used for speech, had caused their voices to be least intelligible. The automatic speech recognition will try to come up with something plausible sounding. However, Hasegawa Johnson remains optimistic about the technology. He recently conducted a 90-day global challenge to find novel ways to improve transcription accuracy for atypical speech patterns. At the end, error rates dropped from 17% to 6%. It's still not as good for people who have atypical voices as far as people whose speech is more typical, but it's 3 times better than it was a year ago, he said. I think automatic speech recognition is at a point where it can save a tremendous amount of provider note time. There are studies that suggest that it's faster to correct automatic speech recognition errors than it is to transcribe it from scratch when the error rate is below 25%, and we're way below that now. But the real danger is if doctors kind of trust it too much that they don't actually read through what it prints out carefully enough to detect the errors. We're at that stage where, you know, it's good enough that it can lull you into a false sense of believing that it's perfect. It's not yet. At this stage of the rollout, patients' reviews are mixed. Aaron Kreitz of Muhammad, an engineer, soccer coach, and father of 4 girls, said, I would opt out. I don't like the idea of an algorithm making health recommendations to doctors on my behalf. Even if the doctor needs to verify the AI recommendations, they're often overworked and will eventually fall victim to blindly accepting the AI recommendation. Kreitz is also concerned that AI wouldn't be able to understand certain contexts as well as a physician. A human doctor can recognize trends in the community and within patient groups, and has a better understanding of patient history or family history that may play into the decision-making process, he said. Carrie Adams, who has worked as a nurse in the area for 32 years, sees both the good and the not-so-good. As a nurse, I had no problem. Let's test out a new technology. You know, I don't want to be that old nurse. And as a patient, I was like, heck yeah, record, I don't care. But Adams has a few concerns. As a nurse in the ICU, where patients are often in close quarters, ambient listening technology could have difficulty distinguishing one patient from the next, and it inadvertently mix up who said what. Furthermore, she's uneasy about the impact of AI on the field of nursing. Are we going to have a robot coming in there and doing your assessment? UI professor Brett Kaplan also sees the pros and cons. She gets frustrated when a doctor looks more at the computer than at her during visits, so she sees the benefits. but she doesn't want AI influencing her doctor's decisions either. That's not why people go to medical school, right? People go to medical school to amalgamate, in a human way, a huge amount of scientific information. And if it's the case that AI is going to start to influence how doctors treat you, or what they might prescribe, or whatever it is, I would see that as a major problem. Valerie Prescott, who teaches fifth grade at Barkstall Elementary in Champaign, would opt out, but for reasons closer to the heart. I believe a doctor can feel the mood in a room better than an AI listening device, and this could greatly affect the outcome of the notes recorded. When my father was dying from heart failure, I would have wanted a doctor to sit and take notes on how my father was feeling and acting, not AI. Item next, we have the headline, Madigan sentenced to 7.5 years in prison, fined $2.5 million, admonished by the judge for perjuring himself while testifying. The stunning downward spiral of Michael Madigan's political career ended Friday with a 7.5-year prison sentence and a $2.5 million fine for the former Illinois House Speaker and the longest-serving legislative leader in U.S. history, after he was convicted of trading legislation for the enrichment of his friends and allies. U.S. District Judge John Robert Blakey sentenced the 83-year-old in U.S. District Court in Chicago. Nicknamed the Velvet Hammer for his quiet but hard-nosed style, Madigan was convicted in February on 10 of 23 counts in a remarkable corruption trial that lasted 4 months. The case churned through 60 witnesses and mountains of documents, photographs, and taped conversations. Federal prosecutors sought a 12.5-year prison term. Madigan's attorneys wanted 5 years probation, saying he's a good man who tried to do right by taxpayers and needs to be home to care for his ailing wife, Shirley, who submitted a videotaped statement to the court requesting her husband be able to come home. But Blakey noted that federal sentencing guidelines allowed for a term of 105 years based on findings in evidence, notably that Madigan committed perjury when he took the stand in his own defense. Blakey was particularly piqued over what he called a nauseating display of perjury and evasion. Blakey said, "You lied. You did not have to. You had a right to sit there and exercise your right to silence. But you took the stand and you took the law into your own hands." During a legislative career spanning half a century, Madigan served nearly 4 decades as Speaker, the longest on record for a U.S. legislator, combined with more than 20 years as chairperson of the Illinois Democratic Party. He set much of the state's political agenda while handpicking candidates for political office. More often than not, he also controlled political map-making, drawing lines to favor his party. Madigan was convicted on 10 counts of bribery, conspiracy, wire fraud, and other charges for ensuring approval of legislation favorable to utility giant ComEd in exchange for kickbacks and jobs and contracts for loyalists, including a Chicago alderman seeking a paid job on a state board after retiring from government. Tried alongside Madigan was his former legislative colleague and longtime confidant, Michael McLean. The jury couldn't reach a decision on any of the 6 counts against McLean. He was convicted, though, in a separate trial over the ComEd conspiracy last year. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette, dated June 14 and June 15. Please stay tuned.